Let's take your Bible and let's go over to Luke chapter 15 this morning. That's just simply a launch pad at 15. We hit several scripture this morning, but we're going to look at something quite thematic today. So we won't be camping out in one place too very long as we go along here. Noah Webster, anybody recognize the name? Well, it's beginning to be something that would only a certain age group know of anymore. But Noah Webster published the American Dictionary of the American Language, first published it in 1828. And there are many wonderful entries in that original dictionary. He used the Bible to give illustration throughout that dictionary. And just a wonderful book packed with the Word of God. But I want to focus on one particular word that he defined there in that original dictionary. And the word that I want to focus in on this morning is compassion. The word compassion. He defined it like this: compassion, a suffering with another, painful sympathy. And then as an illustration, he wrote out Luke 15, verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And you know the story that we're talking about here now. Right in the middle of the picture of the lost son, the parable of the lost son. Beautiful picture, and then that word sits right in the middle of that verse about the father there. That verse shows us that this word compassion is more than a feeling. There's more to it than just a feeling. This painful sympathy, a suffering with another that Webster defined it as. Because when you look here, you find and see a father that was looking. Father that was looking down the way. Anticipating. Looking and waiting. Watching. You see a father here that runs to where the son was when he saw him. Got active with it. Got up close and got up personal with that son upon his return. Got real close and personal with one that had been fighting with the hogs for food. One that probably wasn't smelling too rosy when he showed up at the house. Been through a lot. Looked pretty rough. Smelled pretty rank. He put his arms around that stinking body. He put his lips on that neck with a rusty ring around it. And kissed him like he never kissed him before. And he just loved him right where he was. Right how he found him. Right how he come down that road. He just loved him right there where he was. You see, biblical compassion means seeing the need. It means going out to where the need is. And it also means getting your hands dirty while you try to elevate someone to a higher position, to a higher spot than where you find them. Matthew chapter 14. In the 14th verse there tells us that Jesus had compassion on a big crowd that was following him. He healed the sick. And then it goes on and says that he fed 5,000 on that particular occasion. Matthew 15:32 follows that up. Says that Jesus engaged with another crowd and that he had compassion on that crowd And he fed 4,000 on that occasion. Matthew chapter 20, 34th verse, talks about two blind men that were at Jericho. And it says that Jesus had compassion on those two blind men. And he healed them right then and right there. Mark, I'm going to read this one. Mark chapter 1. Look at verse 40. And it says, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Jesus touched a leper. Boy, did that break the rules. Huh? Boy, he broke that rule right half in two. These people were so contagious, they lived in leper colonies. You don't touch no leper. You didn't even want to get around them. Nobody touched them. But compassion moved the Lord to not just feel sympathy, not just to feel sorry for him, but it moved him to touch him, to touch that leprous individual. In fact, we miss the part of Jesus' ministry sometime. This compassion. We miss that sometimes because we smooth right over that and head for the cross. We go straight in on the cross rather than the journey he took to the cross sometimes. And I think we do that to our detriment. Now, the cross is important. Don't ever believe that I'm downplaying anything, any part of the cross, because that's important. It's the big deal, okay? It's the big deal, but I'll tell you what, there's a journey that he took to get to that cross. And we can't ignore that journey any more than we can ignore that cross, because they're all in the same book. And it's all inspired, and God wants us to learn and grow from it. So we got to make sure we get everything that he wants us to get as we make a trip through there. Let me show you a summary here over in Acts chapter 10, if I can. Acts chapter 10, a summary of the statement that I just made right there. And Peter gives this wonderful little summary. Looking at verse 39, Acts 10, 39. And Peter says, and we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Now I'm going to tell you what, that's worth preaching about right there. That's worth preaching about right there, because that's how a man makes it out of this life alive. You cannot bypass that part right there and make it out of this life alive. You've got to do something with Jesus. You do the right thing with Jesus and you wind up in a good spot. You do the wrong thing or ignore Jesus and you're going to wind up badly. And so this is the crux of it. This is the end of it. This is the point that it all comes down to right there. But I stepped over the journey just a little bit there. I stepped over the journey that Peter wanted to emphasize as well. In that first verse, 38. Go back a verse. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now that was the journey. That was the journey that brought him to the tree on which he was hanged. On which he was crucified, and from which he died and was buried and rose again the third day. But the journey is what I'm looking at there. This idea of him going through these things, and how did he do that with the power of God on his life? So how's that for a short summary for a life that's been well lived? One little old bitty statement there and one little old bitty verse. And it tells you so much about who the Lord was and what he went about doing. I read a comment from a drug dealer. And it goes like this right here. I wrote it down. This drug dealer said, when a kid gets up in the morning and he heads off to school, I'm there. When he comes home from school, I'm there. When he goes out to play, I'm there. They know where I am. And he turned to the preacher to whom this was written and said, "Preacher, where's the church?" When that kid goes off to school, I'm there. When that kid gets off of school, I'm there. And when that kid goes out to play, I'm there. That kid knows where I am. Church, where are you? Well, I don't know about you, but that convicts me right to my soul. That a drug dealer spending more time, quality time, with kids than the church is. When light goes into retreat mode, guess what shows up? Darkness. When light retreats, when light goes dim, darkness is right there waiting. It don't take much for darkness to come in, just for light to go dim. Let me take you over to Luke chapter 10 for a moment. We want to look at this aspect, this idea of this journey again. Luke chapter 10 now, a few chapters prior to where we started out this morning. Luke chapter 10, here's another real familiar place. Luke 10, looking at verse 25. It says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." If loving God's hard, loving your neighbor is not going to be easy, is it? Going to be hard to love your neighbor if you have a hard time loving God. See, God wants everything you got. God wants everything. And then out of the overflow of everything, see, that's kind of what Ken was singing there about a while ago. You know, the blessings that we get come from having a cup full. How you get your cup full? You lift it up. You lift it up to the Lord. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up to you. The only way you can get your cup full is to get it filled by the Lord, right? And once you get it filled, once you get that filling from the Lord, see, that's where this comes from, by giving Him everything that you got, being empty and allowing Him to fill what you are and fill what you have. And once we get that filling that He wants to give us, then this sloshing out that we have here is simply to get it all over everybody else. What He's given us, we're to give out. We're to give to those that we come in contact with. That's what the journey's about. We got to be full so that we have something to give out, so that we have something to share, something to pass on, something of value that we can give out. That's what I tell teachers here when they come on board. I tell them, you better get up and get with the Lord before you get here, because I'm going to tell you what, the devil will meet you in the parking lot. You come in here empty, you got nothing to share with these kids that I'm putting you in charge of. You come in here empty, you're not filled up with the Lord, you're not filled up like you should be, you got nothing. You're giving out empty, you're giving out vanities. You're giving out platitudes and things of that nature. You're not giving out the real deal. And if you're not giving out the real deal, then we're not going to make a difference in these young people's lives. We're not going to make a difference in anybody's life. We're just giving what they're giving down the road. So this feeling's important. It's important for the journey that we're all on. And if you have trouble obeying the Lord, you have trouble following Him, you have trouble being in His will, you have trouble going along with what He wants done, you're going to have trouble with your neighbor. You're going to have trouble having compassion and doing things that are going to be of any lasting value with those that are around us. Yay or nay? Oh me or oh my? So we need to be careful about who we classify as a neighbor then, maybe, right? Huh? Is that the lesson that we're fixing to learn out of this right here? That we need to be careful about who our neighbor is? Have you personally ever seen a time in this nation when men were so deeply divided in your lifetime? Now, I know we were divided one time before because we had a big war over it. But I've never in my lifetime seen people so divided as they are today. And all it takes is for somebody that doesn't believe or have the same view as you have to open their mouth for just a moment, and you want to talk and look at hatred that comes out and bitterness and all kinds of rancor that shows up. I've never seen a time when we're more divided as a nation. Not in my lifetime. And friend, I think that there's something that needs to happen out of that. And I think that we need to give another thought to what we're about. Because God never did send us here to clean up the fish pond. He didn't send us here to clean the pond. He sent us here to catch fish. And if we're going about all of this business and throwing all of our efforts into trying to clean something up, then we're going to be sadly disappointed in all of that. You see, it's not our job, it's His job. But our journey here, that's part of His job in us. To walk us through this life and walk us through each and every day so that we are completely and wholly dependent upon Him and not taking personal the things that the old devil is going to throw at us. Because we start taking that personal and we start acting like we got some kind of rights. And the only right we got is to shut up and follow the Lord. And let Him take up for us. So this idea of the neighbor and this idea of being filling and this idea of all of this and we see where that's going because our nation is headed that way. When trust is gone and all of this and we're against our neighbor, no matter what our neighbor's about or believes and such as that. I mean, there's some of my neighbors I'm not really crazy about loving. But I'm told to love them in the same way that I love myself. So as I'm going along here today, I'm going to tell you this. I'm already having trouble with it. This flesh is having trouble with what the Lord's trying to tell me today. Is anybody here this morning already that say, you know, I'm having trouble with that myself? Well, maybe that's why it's in here. Maybe that's why He addresses it so pointedly. So that we get over ourselves and begin to get things back in right perspective. We don't have to wonder what He's talking about here. We don't have to wonder about the message that He's trying to give us. It is pretty plain. And it is very obvious and evident as we get into the message here and as He talks about this compassion. Let me do this if I could. Because adults think everything's a trick question. And that I'm trying to trip them up so I can say, no, gotcha. It's not that. But young people don't have that problem. How many of our people that are under 8 or 9 here today would do me a favor and come forward? Under 8 or 9, be willing to answer a question in just a moment. I'm going to read a little scripture, and I'm going to ask a question, and be willing to answer a question. How many would do that? Under about 9 this morning. Come on, just come down here and have a seat. Just come have a seat right down here. Come on, all of you. All of you, I don't care. 9, 10, 12, 14, I don't care. Come on. Come on. I'm gonna tell a story, and then I'm just going to ask a question. Not like the adults that go, oh, no, he's going to trip me up or any of that sort of thing.
Chronologically or
There's your answer. Come on, just listen to a story. Now, y'all listen to me. We're going to read the scripture, and I'm going to ask you a question, okay? And the question I'm going to ask you at the end of this, you ready? The question I'm going to ask you after we're through reading the scripture, and you get the answer out of that, not out of this other, I'm going to ask you, which one of these individuals is your neighbor, okay? Is the neighbor that the Lord's talking about that you have to love him with all your heart, okay? You ready? Listen. Listen right here. Beginning in verse 28. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, when he saw the man from Jericho, from Jerusalem that was fallen down, that priest, when he saw him, he passed by and went on the other side. Now you get the story here so far, right? There was a man that was going from one town to another. And when he's going from one town to another, a bunch of thieves got on him and beat him about half to death and dropped him down beside the road there. So he's laying there about half dead on the side of the road. And this priest comes, and as this priest comes, he sees that man laying there on the side of the road, and he goes by on the other side of the road and doesn't stop. You get the picture? Let's go on. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Now we got another fella coming along, and he was a Levite. Priest came first and passed by on the other side. Then a Levite comes, and he walks up to the man. Look at me. Look up here. He walked up to the man, and he looked at him. He said, boy, he looks like he's half dead. And he turned around, and he passed by and went on down the road. Here we go. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. So now we got a third guy showing up. Look up here. This third guy is a Samaritan. A Samaritan is a guy that not many people liked. People didn't like these people, okay? And so the Samaritan comes up and he sees the guy that's about half dead right there. And he gets up to him right here and he says, oh boy, he looks hurt. He had compassion on him. You know what that means? That means he hurt for him because he was hurting. And so he went over to him to check on him. Hey, dude, you all right? Shook him a little bit. Saw that he was bleeding. Saw that he was hurting. All right? He had compassion on him. Got the picture? Okay. Next thing that he did, listen. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. So that third guy, the Samaritan, he went down there and he looked at him and he got some medicine out of his pocket. And he poured it in on him and rubbed it in and kind of covered him up pretty good. Then he reached down, picked him up, and put him on his beast, a donkey or something like that, put him on that beast, and he took him down to the hotel. And when he got down to the hotel, he put him in over there so he could get some rest. All right? Now, here's the question. You ready? Man, don't make me look bad. Okay? So there were three guys that came up to this one that was laying there on the ground. All right? And Jesus wants to ask the question, which one of these three guys was a neighbor to the one that was hurt and fallen down? Was it the priest that came up, didn't even stop, and went on by? Was the priest a neighbor to him?
No.
A Levite showed up. He came over and took a look at him. But then he left and went the other way. Was he a neighbor to him? Or was it the Samaritan who came up?
helped him out, poured some stuff into his wounds, put him up on a donkey, took him to the hotel and said, hey, put him up in there and give him room service. Which one of those three was a neighbor to the man that was fallen? Y'all are good. And you listen so good. Did you know the answer to start with? I figured you did. I figured you did. I believe you. Thank you. And I appreciate it. Y'all can stay there if you want to. Or you can have a seat with your people. It's up to you. See? We all know the answer, but we don't really want to put ourselves out there sometimes. These guys don't have a problem with that. They were going to give me the answer before I even asked it. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I'll repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And the church said, see, a child will lead you. And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. I want to get you thinking about that for just a moment. As we think about compassion and as we think about taking nationally the tone down a bit. If we're going to take the tone down a bit, we're going to have to do it in the church first. Okay? Because it's not going to happen in the world around us. We are the ones that have the Spirit of the living God. We are the restraining force in this world. And if we're not going to lead the way with compassion, compassion is going to be flat. Let me give you a picture here, because there's some folks in the world that are doing things that are being perceived as being much more than what we're involved in. Let's take a look at this scenario right here, and let's take a look, because see what happens here is everybody in the church wants to take themselves and put themselves in the place of the Samaritan. Huh? You want to take a look and say, you know, well, we're the Samaritan. And, you know, nobody really likes us and none of that sort of thing, but we do the right thing and all this sort of thing. But you know what? What that's talking about is that's talking about somebody that was in a group that did not have the Lord. These Samaritans are folks that had that were not in that religious group, in that born-again crowd, if you will. So what this is akin to is akin to somebody that is laying there on the side of the road, and an old boy shows up in a t-shirt that says, gay is okay. Hello? Old boy shows up in a t-shirt that says, gay is okay. And leans down there and binds up the wounds. And puts him on the beast. And takes him to the hotel. And puts him up. And says, if there's any other charges, go ahead and let me take care of that too. That's the picture we're getting right there. It's the picture of a gal coming up and has a t-shirt on that says, Planned Parenthood. It's my body. Keep your law off of it. Who kneels down, has compassion, works on that individual, levers them onto a beast, hauls them to the hotel. I've been lost and I've been saved. I've seen good and I've seen bad. I've seen good in the world and I've seen bad in the world. And I've seen good in the church and I've seen bad in the church. I've been parts of communities as a lost man that were tight. Tight. I was a part of a bar community one time where that bar community was as tight as any church group I was ever around. Something happened to one in the group, the rest of the group come to them, had compassion, gave, worked. They didn't have nothing in common other than their interest in drinking beer. And I've seen churches fight over stuff and act like they didn't have nothing in common with each other. It's not the world's job to change the world. It's not why the world is here. That's the default. The church is here to be something better than it's portraying. The church is here to have bigger function than what we're having. And it's got to start with compassion. Got to start with compassion. Meeting people where they are. Being what we're supposed to be. And pointing them to something that's above and beyond and greater than all of us. Something that'll transcend this life. Something that'll transcend this day. And buddy, we can't sit down and let that just happen. It's got to be about the journey. And the journey is only going to be fruitful if we are filled and walking and ready and moving as the Lord would have us to be, so that when we have compassion, there's something behind it. Something of value. Something that someone needs. A reason to go on whenever there's no other reason to go on. So now that I got that picture in your mind, let me get that picture out of your mind for just a moment. I like to go back to that first part that we talked about, and I said, you know, that's how we all picture ourselves, as being the Samaritan, right? Well, I don't picture myself with those other t-shirts on. Because those other t-shirts are against what the Lord says. And so when I have compassion, I want to have the compassion that the Lord would have on that individual. We're all sinners. All messed up. But there's one that can take that messed upness and do something with it. So I kind of like this t-shirt better. I like this one better than all those others up there. So whenever we show up there, we can take that other one off and let them know who we are. And cover them up and bind up their wounds. And let them know that we come not in our name. Not in the name of my bank account. But I come in the name of the Lord. I'm His emissary. He sent me here. You recognize that each and every day as you go on going about your business? That wherever you are, that the Lord's got you there for a reason? Huh? That the Lord's got you there and that there are divine appointments? Divine appointments that He brings in and out of your life? And yet we miss them. Yet we don't recognize them for what they are. I might have to read something here in a minute. And so the words of that drug dealer come back into my mind. They know where I am, preacher. Where's the church? We need to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works, but not glorify us. To do what? Glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Amen? We need to see our good works. We need to be about those good works. I was good friends with a fellow up in West Virginia. He was a North American Mission Board missionary. Planted a church down in West Charleston, right downtown. And just kind of carved it out of nothing. In his early years, Norm Canada and I got on very famously. And I was very, just watching the way that he went about ministry down there and ministering to the folks that the Lord had put in his path. I just thought it was just incredible and amazing what God was doing to use him there in that setting. And I got to talking to him one time because West Charleston Baptist Church was just full of misfits. Now, we're pretty messed up, okay? But West Charleston was messed up. We're talking about druggies. We're talking about just folks that, prostitutes. We're talking about folks that just, weren't mainstream, okay? And there was just a little cluster of them down there that he had there in West Charleston. And I got to talking, and every time I talked to him, he'd be like, oh, I got to go over here. We got to get so-and-so to this meeting and this and that and the other. And I'm going to give a ride to this one right here. And we're going to watch this baby for this a couple over here. It's a crack baby. And we got to take care of the baby tonight and all this. And I'm like, man, when do you find time to do anything for yourself? When do you find time? What's going on? I said, how do you keep going? Because every day was a crisis after a crisis after a crisis. Just one crisis after another. And just ministering all day, ministering all night, and just giving and giving and giving and giving and giving. And I was just dumbfounded by the effort and by the enormity of all that was going on with Brother Norman and them there at West Charleston. I said, how do you do it? He just simply told me something like this. He said, don't let the darkness smother you. He said, don't let the darkness smother you. He said, simply light a candle and let it shine. Just light a candle. Let it shine. And what he meant by that was that they couldn't save every baby. And they couldn't save every crackhead. And they couldn't get everybody that was on the streets a home. And they couldn't do everything for every one of them that they came into contact with. They couldn't heal everything. They couldn't fix everything. But they could do what they could do. So they weren't shining a huge old spotlight into West Charleston. They just lit a candle. And they went by the candlelight as far as they could go. They did all that they could do, and that's all that they could do. But they did it. And they continued in it for a lot of years. God put a lot of people in their path. God changed a lot of stuff in West Charleston because two people decided that they'd just light a candle and do what they could wherever they could do it. We rarely know what compassion is going to demand. What happens a lot of times is we look at a situation and we start counting the cost. And then we decide at some point in the calculation that we don't want to pay that cost. Because if I get involved here, it's going to be this. And if I get involved in that, it's going to be that. And the next thing you know, it's going to be this and this and this and this. And so from the outset, we begin to go down the trail, and the next thing that happens is, nope, not even going to start. Not even going to go down that trail. And compassion gets squelched. And that opportunity is missed. And we miss the opportunity to be about the Lord's business. Sometimes the help's going to be quick and easy. But sometimes it's going to be long, hard, and heavy. And when it gets long and heavy like that, you're not going to be able to do it by yourself. And sometimes we let that stop us from getting started. When what the Lord wants us to do is get started, and He'll bring help with us. The Samaritan couldn't nurse that man back to health. He had to have help. He did what he could. And he moved on, and he trusted that others would be involved in the process. And that's exactly what he did. Nobody can do it all. And nobody can do it all. But we can do something. We can do something. And so the Lord says, so go thou and do likewise. Right? Go thou and do likewise. Get involved in the process. The question really isn't who is my neighbor, is it? The question really is what kind of a neighbor am I going to be? What kind of a neighbor does the Lord want me to be in this whole process here? You want to talk about the tenor and the tone of a nation changing? It won't change. It's not going to change if we don't get involved. It's not going to change if we bunker up and hunker down. You see, the gates of hell are the ones that are static. We're the ones that are supposed to be moving. We need to be advancing, and advancing in the right way. How? Get your cup full, number one. Have something you can share. Have something that you can move on. And then get involved. Get involved where you can, where the Lord's at, where you're at. And let Him lead you through that process. Amen? Compassion. Patient suffering. The Lord had it. He exemplified it. He is quick to tell people what was what. But I'll tell you what, He predicated that with touching, loving, caring, and helping. We're a part of the Southern Baptist of Texas Convention. There's another convention in this state called the General Baptist Convention of Texas. There's a small difference between the two, and it can be outlined like this. That the convention that we're a part of is not just about wanting to reach out with a cup of cold water in Jesus' name, but to tell people that there is a Savior and His name's Jesus. That is the mantra of the Southern Baptist of Texas Convention of which we're a part. The General Baptist Convention is satisfied at times to be okay with just giving out a cup of cold water in Jesus' name with no hook. That's good. What we're supposed to be about is exactly that and something more. It starts with compassion, caring about people, meeting people where they are, and then not just leaving them there where they are and attend to their physical needs and leave them there, but to let them know that there's more to this life than that cup of water that we're passing along. And so this is kind of a fundamental message for us today. Let's get back to the old path. Let's get back to the old ways. Having compassion on our fellow man, regardless of whether we agree with him or not. I'd rather it be one of us with an eternity as a long time to be wrong shirt on and making a difference in somebody's life than letting it sit with gay's okay and they're doing a better job than what the Lord's army is doing. Let's represent well, and let's see what He wants to do with that. Amen?
Amen.
Compassion. Think about it today as you go about your business. I'm going to tell you what, I ever find out one of you passes somebody with a flat on the road down here and pulls into this church and pulls up in front, I'll have you barred. Huh? Don't you dare. There, miss an opportunity to be that good Samaritan and then pull in here like you got something more important to do. Amen? If you're going to do something like that, just pass us up. Pass us up. Don't pull in here. Go on down to town east and turn in. All right? Let them think you come from down there, not over here. All right? Compassion. Have some compassion. I used that picture one time before, and somebody got all upset with me over that because they went to Town East or something for some period of time. I wasn't trying to throw off on Town East, honestly, with all that. So I give that disclaimer again today. I just don't want people to think you go here if you do stuff like that. Okay? All right. Let's stand for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity to come in today. And Lord, we thank You for, Lord, Your ministry and the way that You, Lord, just dealt with people. And we are just so very grateful, Lord, for how You do things and the example that You set for us. Lord, that we might get it, Lord, that we are surrounded by neighbors, that there's nobody that's not our neighbor. And Lord, that everybody that we meet has needs. I don't care whether they're in or out of the household of faith. Everybody has a need. Everybody has something that we can speak to or minister to. So God, help us to be more than surface individuals. Help us, Lord God, to have our eyes open that we might see the needs. Lord, our nation's in a mess. Help us to be the compassionate individuals that You designed us to be. Lord, help us to be those peacemakers that You said would be blessed. Help us to do that in this nation that is so deeply divided. I pray for our leadership. Dear God, please, I just pray for our leadership that You might superintend and cover that. And God, that You might
change some folks' minds and hearts, Lord, that they might be able to find some common ground. And God, that we could move forward. Lord, I know there's all kinds of different ideologies there, but I do know this, that if a man will turn to you, then we'll have a common thread. And so I'm asking you, Father, for the whole lot of them up there in D.C., Lord, that you'd break their heart for their soul's demise. And God, bring them by the droves into the kingdom of God. And thereby change a nation from the inside out. God, please, we're trusting that you can do that. And now, Father, for us, on a personal note, help us not to be all bunkered up inside the lighthouse. Help us, Lord God, to take a little bit of candle wattage and take it into our communities. Take it into our neighborhoods and even into our homes. God, help us to be about that business. Lord, if there be one here today that doesn't know you in the pardon and forgiveness of sin, I know, Lord, that we've not talked much about that today, but Lord, I just pray that you continue to work in that heart, in that mind, in that individual. And God, bring him to the place of surrender. Today wouldn't be too early. We'd ask you, Lord, if you'd do that today. If not today, continue the process, please. For we pray it in Jesus' name. And amen.